hello. And I thought, blessed August 6th.
Huh.
It's August 6th. So, So we are all blessed to be here, for sure. We are today continuing the series. We've been doing a series on the names of God. And there's a book, Ann Spangler, that I've drawn from information from on the different names of God that I've done, which has been really a great help. But last week, I spoke on Jesus the Rock, and that's Yahweh Tsiri. And that it epitomizes his enduring faithfulness. So today I'm going to talk about five other names. I know that sounds, wow, like a lot. And it is. However, they're used a lot together in the Psalms. And so the five other names are God your refuge, shield, fortress, dwelling place, and strong tower. And we'll go through a lot of scriptures on that, but we're going to start in Psalm 91. So let me go to, all right, Psalm 91. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And in Matthew 23, verse 37 through 39, Jesus refers to the gathered chicks. So he is praying over Jerusalem. It's towards the end of his ministry. They've rejected him. And he says in verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you are the city that murders your prophets. You are the city that stones the very messengers who were sent to deliver you. So many times I have longed to gather a wayward people as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were too stubborn to let me. And now it is too late, since your city will be left in ruins. And it was, Jerusalem was destroyed. 70 AD. For you will not see me again until you are able to say, we welcome the one who comes to us in the name of the Lord. So, let me read that again. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. And that is something that he longs to do for each one of us. And all we need to do is accept that. And, let's see. I'm going to go through. Let's see. The light doesn't show me my highlighted section here. Oh, that, now it's even worse. Sorry, we're having light difficulty. No. Okay, I'm just going to read it all. All right. The Hebrew scriptures reveal a God who dwells with his people. First in a tent in the wilderness, and then in the Jerusalem temple. The New Testament takes this idea of God's dwelling place on earth a giant step further by revealing a God who wants to dwell not merely with his people, but within his people. Picturing God himself as our dwelling place. He is our dwelling place. And that is my own. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but that's how it looks. closely allied to this image of dwelling place is the idea of God as our refuge, or moksei. He is pictured as one to whom we can run for safety and security. The word refuge also appears in the Hebrew scriptures in connection to Israel's cities of refuge. The Hebrew word in this instance is maklat, where people could flee for safety if they had accidentally killed someone. These cities were strategically located so that anyone in Israel was within a day's journey of one. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. So, city of refuge. Yeah. But they had to run to that city of refuge. And we have to run to God, our refuge. It has to be proactive. We have to do something, you know? And he's there for us, just like that city of refuge was there for the people. And then a shield, that is magen, is another image of God protecting care. Ancient shields were often made of layered cowhide and were used in situations of close combat, as well as to protect soldiers from rocks hurled from city walls. In biblical times, some cities were enclosed by walls 25 feet high and 15 to 25 feet thick. Wow. That is just amazing. Farmers worked in the fields by day and then retreated within the city walls at night for protection. Large fortified cities also contained strongholds or strong towers that provided additional defense should the city's outer walls be breached. Like the other terms already mentioned, God is compared to a fortress, which is mesuda, and to a strong tower or migdalos. But all these terms, a shield, fortress, dwelling place, strong tower, refuge, the people, the Hebrew people, knew what those terms meant. I mean, they connected with that. They had received that protection and that feeling of security and defense. Let's see. I'm going to read from Psalm 9, 9 and 10. I'm going to read it here, and then I'm also going to read it in the Passion Bible. Not sure what this translation is, but the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And in the Passion, it says, all who are oppressed may come to you as a shelter in the time of trouble, a perfect hiding place. May everyone who knows your mercy keep putting their trust in you, for they can count on you for help, no matter what. O Lord, you will never, no, never neglect those who come to you. And going back to a perfect hiding place, and that reminded me of Corrie Ten Boom and the book that she wrote, The Hiding Place. And I thought, she lived in the Netherlands. She was a Dutch watchmaker with her father. Her mother was there, her sister. I don't know if she had other siblings. There was a Nazi invasion, and their family chose to hide Jews in their home to save them from the Nazis. And many Jews were saved by their family. Yeah.
I think I remember seeing a movie about
that. Yeah, yeah. And somebody turned them in. I don't know, neighbor maybe, whatever, turned them in. They were all taken to concentration camp, to the concentration camps. And her father and mother, they died soon after going or on their way to the concentration camp. Corey and her sister, I don't remember her name, were put in the concentration camp Ravensbrück. And, of course, an absolutely awful place. And her sister died while she was in that concentration camp. Corey did not. But they were staying in a barracks that was overrun with fleas. It was either fleas or lice or some awful thing, but just the whole room was just overrun. And because of that, the guards would not go in to that barrack. And so at night, she'd sit around with the women and she would just share about God's love for them and her hope in God and his presence with them there. She just ministered to the women. That would not have happened if the guards were coming in at night, and she would not have been able to do that. And so she looked at that as God's mercy. So in the most difficult situations, God is there and faithful. And I just love that. So I thought, her hiding place, the dwelling place of God, she was right there with God. And then Psalm 23, and boy, this sounds like where they were at in that barracks. But even though I walked through the valley, well, so this is Psalm 23, verse 4 through 6. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Corrie ten Boom went on to travel around and just share God's message of hope and love throughout her life. She died very old, and I don't know how long ago, but anyway.
She was like 50 when she was in the concentration camp. I mean, she was older.
Yeah.
Like a young girl.
Right. Yeah.
Or a young woman.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Okay. So now to Psalm 59, verses 16 and 17. But I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. O my strength, I sing praise to you, O God. You are my fortress, my loving God. Beautiful. And Psalm 61, verses 1 through 3. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Jesus says, we will have troubles. We will have sorrows. And our heart will grow faint. It's not just when we're strong that we cry to God, you know. But we cry to God when we feel faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I love that. And then Psalm 46. Yes, I have to find. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to read verse 1 through 3 and then 7 through 11. Okay. So God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And I'm going to go down to verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Okay. And Isaiah 26:4. He said, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. And, oh, let's see, I want to read, where's that? All right, this is Psalm 3, 2 and 3. This is from the Passion. Psalm 3, 2 and 3. Well, I'll start at 1. Lord, I have so many enemies, so many who are against me. Listen to how they whisper their slander against me, saying, look, he is hopeless. Even God can't save him from this. But in the depths of my heart, I truly know that you, Yahweh, have become my shield. You take me and surround me with yourself. Your glory covers me continually. You lift high my head when I bow low in shame. I have cried out to you, Yahweh, from your holy presence. You send me a father's help. That goes to verse 4. You send me a father's help. In Ephesians 6, let's see if I can find where I marked it. No. And well, I'm going to read verse 10, actually. Verse 10, and then we'll read 12, 13, and 16. But verse 10 says, now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. And then it says, put on the full armor of God. Talks about putting on the full armor of God. And then verse 12, see, says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authority, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And that shield of faith, that's the shield that God gives us. His shield of faith. So, your own story may hold its share of challenges to your faith. When you feel yourself slipping into discouragement, which, as we all do, we all slip into discouragement, that take hold of the words of Psalm 3. You are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. And Ephesians 6, the thought that he has given us everything we need to stand. And we can stand in all that he has provided for us. All right. Okay, couple questions in. Is it the idea of, well, take a few moments to reflect on trouble spots in your own life. I was reading through these and I thought, so what has kept you from experiencing God as your refuge? Because he is our refuge. We can run to him. He is always there. So what keeps us from running to God? Have you been seeking shelter elsewhere? Are you angry at God for letting you down? Have you dug yourself into a hole that you now think you have to dig yourself out of? Oh, I've thought that. I think we all have, you know. I've got to take care of this rather than seeking God's answer on it to take care of it for him to guide. Do you think your situation is impossible? And we know that all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. So let me read these psalms. Bless you. Psalm 512. Oh, I don't need to look in that. I've got it right here. 512. For surely, O Lord, surely of surety, we can be sure of this. You bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. That safe place of refuge with thick walls. That's where we are in the middle of that. And God is surrounding us. Proverbs 14:13. When calamity comes, the wicked are brought down, but even in death, the righteous have a refuge. And then Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Thank you, Lord. And I thought, you know, where Jesus said, in this world, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but be of good cheer and be courageous, for I have conquered the world. So what happens on this earth with us, that is not the end of the story. This is not the end of the story, you know. We have a lot to accomplish here, but then we go on. Huh? So peace is resting in his love for us and his victory. Thanks for joining. Yeah, so.